Our scripture for today comes from the Gospel according to Mark in the 10th chapter, reading verses 1 through 16. Hear the word of the Lord. He left that place and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan. The crowds again gathered around him, and as was his custom, he again taught them. So Pharisees came and to test him, and they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter, and he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we do admit that we have a lot of stuff on our minds, and that can get in the way sometimes. So we pray that you would help us to set those cares aside for a moment and open our minds, our hearts, and our souls up to what you would have said today. In Christ's name, amen. How many of you have seen Princess Bride? Okay, some of you might not get this, but... So, what's the scripture about today? Marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today. If you haven't seen it, see Princess Bride. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. So, today is World Communion Sunday. Okay, it's talking about, you know, we're celebrating the unity of the different Protestant denominations. So why the heck are we talking about marriage? Why is this the gospel reading in the lectionary? Well, that's a doggone good question. See, there's a couple of things I think that are going on in this particular passage. One is definitely Jesus talking about marriage, talking about divorce. But I think Jesus is alluding to something else. So in the beginning of our passage, you know, Jesus is teaching, and the good old boys, the Pharisees, are there, and they ask him a question. Is it okay for a man to divorce his wife? Now, let me say, they really didn't care about the answer. They were just trying to trip him up. Because they knew from the book of Deuteronomy what Moses said about that. Basically, if a wife falls out of favor with her husband, he writes out a piece of paper, hands it to her, and she can go off and do stuff. Now, there's not a whole lot of substance in what Moses said. I mean, under what circumstances could the husband actually do that? You know, if she's breaking the Mosaic law, sure. But what about if she yells at her husband? What about if she burns the bread? What about if she doesn't sweep the tent out? Are those grounds for the husband to dismiss the wife? And you see, that is how things had progressed in the time of Jesus. You had the Pharisees advocating for this. Now, you don't have to raise any hands, but how many of you guys have wished that you could write something, give it to your wife, and say, have a good life? Jesus goes on and talks about marriage. He talks about how God created them male and female. He talks about a man leaving his family, basically, his father and his mother, and is joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. So what Jesus is basically saying here is that if you're going to get married, you better be doggone sure that you want to spend the rest of your life with that person. I think how long our engagement was officially, like a year. Year and a half. How long was your engagement? This is audience participation time.
Technically, it was longer because you asked me to marry you.
All right. It wasn't official. It wasn't official until January of 1989. But anyhow, how long were...
8 months.
9 months. Oh, my gosh. Anybody beat eight, 9 months? Anybody have a shorter than that? You know, you hear stories about people getting married 3 months, 6 months or so after meeting. Can you really know somebody in 3 to 6 months? Now, I'm not discounting that it could happen, but let's be a little more logical or practical. Can you really know if the guy leaves the toilet seat up? Can you really know how much of the bathroom counter the wife's beauty products is going to take up? And probably most importantly, do you really know which way they put the toilet paper roll on? Over or under? Who's over? Who's under? Huh? You're wrong. You know, what is that person going to be like when you have disagreements? That's important. Because, you know, we like to think that, you know, marriage is this wonderful, happy thing, which for the most part it is. But you are going to take and you're going to get into fights, shouting matches, spats. And the longer that you're married, the more the likelihood that you're going to have at least one knockdown, drag out fight. Not that, I'm not saying that it's going to involve physicality, although sometimes, you know, the wife has enough and smacks the husband around. Anyhow, I kid. You see, what Jesus is talking about here is being obedient to a higher principle. To take what you are doing, in this case, taking being married seriously. Thinking about it. Thinking about, do you really want to spend the rest of your life with this person? Are you going to be able to do that? How are you going to handle the finances? Do you want kids? How long do you want to wait to have kids? Important questions that you need to know. So, again, Jesus is indeed talking about a higher principle. The sermon's a higher standard, whatever. There is a higher standard that we need to take and hold ourselves accountable to. And it's not just in marriage. Okay? Marriage is probably the most important relationship other than your one with Jesus that you're going to have on this earth. And again, Jesus is saying basically, no divorce. That's how committed you have to be. Now, I hear what Jesus is saying, and let me just say, there are circumstances, at least this is my belief, there are circumstances that warrant that. However, if you go into a marriage, and I've heard couples say this, you know what, if this doesn't work out, we'll just divorce, you know, we'll go off. That is a self-realized prophecy. If you're not going to fight for it, then you shouldn't do it. And it's the same thing when we go about living our Christian lives. When we go out and we see the downtrodden, we see the poor. Are we just to walk by them? Are we to say, you know what? I know you're out here in this snow and this cold weather. You got a threadbare jacket on. But you know what? Go and be warm. Be full of food. Are we just to throw a couple bucks at him? Here's some money. You know, go away, boy. You bother me. That's a start. But we are supposed, we again are held to that higher standard. We are held to act like Jesus Christ every day of our lives. And what did Jesus do? Did Jesus ever turn anyone away? No. Did he ever turn away someone that was suffering from disease? Did he turn away the 10 lepers? Did he take back from the 9 that did not come back? Did he take away the healing? When there were 5,000 men and women and children that were hungry, did he just let them starve? Nope. He fed them. Now let me say, I want to acknowledge again, I'm not perfect. And I hate to tell you, but y'all aren't perfect either, okay? But there is that high standard of emulating Christ. And what we should be doing is keeping our eye on that and trying to the very, very best of our ability to be Christ here on earth. Yes, it's tough, but there is a joy in the journey of trying to be like Christ. So, how do we go about achieving this high standard that has been set before us? Well, there's another part of our reading for today, and it seems like two distinctive pieces of scripture. At the end is the very well-known passage about people bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples, no, he's too busy. Yeah, no. And you got Jesus saying, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." You want to uphold that high standard? You want to be like Jesus? Act like a little child. Act like a child does. Anybody know who Roger Fulgham is? I think that's his name. He wrote a little thing called All I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Anybody know that? All I really need to know about how to live and how to do and how to be, I learned in kindergarten. Wisdom was not at the top of the graduate school mountain, but there in the sand pile at school. These are the things that I learned. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hit someone. Wash your hands before you eat. This next one's my favorite one. Flush. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. lived a balanced life, learn some and think some and draw and paint and sing and dance and play and work every day some. Take a nap every afternoon. That's part of my routine as I get older and older. When you go out in the world, watch out for traffic, hold hands, and stick together. Be aware of wonder. Remember the little seed in the styrofoam cup? The roots go down and the plant goes up, and nobody really knows how or why. But we are all like that. Goldfish and hamsters and white mice and even the little seed in the styrofoam cup, they all die. So do we. And then remember the Dick and Jane books and the first word you learned, the biggest word of all, look. Everything you need to know is in there somewhere. The golden rule and love and basic sanitation, ecology and politics, inequality and sane living. Take any one of these items and extrapolate it into sophisticated adult terms and apply it to your family life or to your work or to government or your world, and it holds true and clear and firm. Think what a better world it would be if we all, the whole world, had milk and cookies at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then we laid down with our blankies for a nap. Or if all the governments had as a basic policy to always put things back where they were found and to clean up your own mess. And it is still true, no matter how old you are, when you go out into the world, it is best to hold hands and to stick together. Let he who has ears hear. Amen.